Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda, and I'm so excited about today's show. I have Jason Troy with me. Jason is an executive coach who works with executives, entrepreneurs, and rising stars to maximize their leadership potential and performance. He also helps them build and execute their career blueprint. He's the best-selling author of Social Wealth, a how-to guide on building extraordinary business relationships, which has sold more than 45,000 copies. He was a featured speaker at TEDx Wilmington 2017, where he debuted his breakthrough team-building game, Cards Against Mundanity. Finally, he hosts the podcast show Executive Breakthroughs, bringing game-changing CEOs, entrepreneurs, and experts that share their breakthroughs and breakdowns. It's my pleasure to welcome Jason to our show.
Well, thanks for having me on the show and speaking to your fantastic tribe.
Well, thank you. So let's jump right to it, Jason. Let's fill in some of the gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey. And how you got where you are today.
Sure. Well, I started out, and as any entrepreneur, it's a quite windy road with a lot of turns and ups and downs along the way. So I started out going to law school and getting my master's in communications from Syracuse University. I was originally thinking of doing crisis management, and they have the number one communication school, so it made a lot of sense. And then when I was interviewing, during my second year, you know, I networked with a lot of the third year law students to, you know, let me know what to ask, what to anticipate. And so I had this down cold, or I thought, and I didn't ask them the final question I should ask. They just said, ask a softball question. And, you know, I figured that would be pretty easy. And usually the things that you think are going to be the easiest are usually the things that end up being the most challenging or the biggest learning experience you're going to have. So the question I asked them, which now is really naive, but back then I didn't really think so, is, are you happy? And, you know, when I asked a question from senior level partner down to an associate, it was the longest for me to ask the question and then to answer it. And you could tell their eyes were darting around, and then they stuttered. And, you know, when you have 30-some super smart people doing that, you know that you probably have some issue going on. So I did a lot of soul searching and got a lot of other data and things that I thought this probably wasn't the path for me. So I decided the other thing I really enjoyed doing was technology. So I went out to Silicon Valley during the gold rush, and I had, you know, great opportunity, got to work with Steve Jobs, Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix right now. I got to work with Mark Cuban's company getting bought. I mean, I went to HP. I got to work at just a tons of different environments and venture capital, and, you know, just an amazing amount of smart people for the time that I was there. And then, you know, I went to Dallas to be closer to my mom, who moved there from Chicago. And just over time, I felt like, you know, the corporate route just wasn't for me. I just had a lot of ups and downs. And I realized that after doing a lot of soul searching, you know, the purpose in my life was really more belonging and connecting. And I needed to find something that I could do that continuously on, because working in a corporate setting, at least the ones that I had found, that was not something that was really possible. And I deal with a lot of politics and turnover and crazy things as well. So I decided to do this as a side hustle for a while. You know, I had a business partner, started out just doing something super small, which is, you know, how to build a social life in 30 days or less. And I knew I wanted to move more in business, but I had a full-time job, you know, and this is like 8 years ago or so. And I was like, this is going to be enough. And there was, you know, a market for it, and there wasn't any competition. So I pitched the idea to someone else that I knew, and I got a business up and running, and then had a falling out, and I started down the corporate path because that was really where I wanted to go anyways, and worked on my book, and, you know, that's where I am today.
Oh, that's awesome. And congratulations on your book. Writing a book is no small feat at all. And then selling 45,000 copies. I know for a lot of people, they probably think, oh, is that doesn't seem like a lot, because they're looking at the big time best-selling authors that sell a million copies. But for an entrepreneur, 45,000 copies is a lot of copies. And I know that because even when we exceeded in our first week, like 20,000, our publisher was like, oh my gosh. And I know we've exceeded their expectations. And so it really is a lot just for the people out there. So congratulations on that.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So then tell us a little bit today about your business and how it shaped your lifestyle.
So my business today is I work with executives, managers, and entrepreneurs. And it's on a variety of things from leadership, management, their own, you know, how to build their own business out from there, any other challenges that they're having. And I just sit down and sort of like a doctor. I mean, you have to really do root cause analysis on what's going on with an individual, because most of the problems people have are internal issues. There are patterns that have been going on most of their life that turn into blind spots, and they're not able to see them because that's not how we're wired and our brains work. So we can diagnose everyone else's problems, but when it comes to ourselves, we can't see them. And I find that that's usually almost always the case of doing this, you know, probably 500 times at this point. It's rare when that is not the lead cause of the biggest problems that they have, and it causes people to flatline in what's going on around them. And once you get that awareness level, then you can go on to working on external things and learning best practices. And I find that most people just misdiagnose it. And what happens in like corporate America, an easy example would be, so people might go through training and leadership at whatever level they are. Maybe they might do a 360-degree review, which is basically getting colleagues and people to give you feedback on how they perceive you. Well, the challenge is that we address things externally by trying to acquire more skills, when many times it's not a skill issue at all, right? So an example would be, I worked with a CEO probably now 8 months ago who said to me, you know, my leadership team isn't working as well as I want it to be, and I know they can be doing more. And you can apply that to any level in an organization, right? Or an entrepreneur who has a small business, right? So after talking to his team for 5 minutes apiece, they basically said, he's not listening, he's not hearing us, he's not taking feedback and not taking input. And when you go to, if I go back to the CEO and I give him that feedback, right, specifically, he is going to feel like he's broken, because I'm basically telling him that what he's doing is wrong and people are perceiving him negatively. And whenever you do that to someone, they get very defensive. And our brains are hardwired for negativity. So what they'll do is he'll accept some of it, but he'll push back. And in the back of his mind, he'll be really mad at the rest of his team. So what happens is he'll get incremental benefit in anything that I'm helping him at. But if I do it a different way, I can get exponential benefits and help the whole team and organization really fast. And how you do it in that situation is you start asking people about their history, like what went on early in their life, and trying to do some root cause analysis to see, is there a pattern that stemmed that's been going on their entire life, right? And because at the end of the day, it's really about pattern recognition and understanding the patterns. And in this instance, it was, right? He was a family of six kids. And in those six kids, he had to yell over his parents to get anything he wanted. So we learned early on that not listening got him what he wanted, right? So that pattern had gone on several different times. So now when you point that out to someone, it's like putting a boxer in the corner, and he did it because he gave me the data. So I say to him, it's neither good nor bad. It is just a pattern. And now that I have told you what's going on, you have a choice, right? You have a choice to accept it and do something about it and be accountable or not, right? But let's look at what it's costing you. Probably 10 to 20% of your bottom line, at least. You're probably going to lose some people. So what do you want to do? And of course, at that point, someone's much more amenable because they didn't realize all that had gone on and all of the blind spots that have been happening in the pattern that's been going on. And then all I did was give him a post-it note with suggestions and ideas, and that's it. And I said, just do these things, do nothing else. And in 30 days, it was as if it never even occurred. And the executive team was as happy as a clam, and they were executing at a higher level.
Wow, that's a fantastic story and a really good example of what you do. So thank you for that. So, Jason, what do you think are two of your greatest skill sets that have really helped you succeed in owning your own business?
You know, it's probably a combination of building great relationships with people. I think there, and also is a combination of, you know, self-awareness internally and also, I think, emotional intelligence. I think both of those things really help me engage with people, help me understand them, and help me build trust in my relationships, because those are pretty critical, whether I'm doing it speaking in a large organization to people or I'm doing things one-on-one. You still have to have that credibility and you have to build relationships with people.
Absolutely. So you said emotional intelligence?
Yeah, and self-awareness. I kind of combine them because some definitions make them separate, together. There's so many different ways of looking at it, and then building relationships.
Okay. Do you want to expand on the emotional intelligence just a tiny little bit?
Well, I think what I found with great leaders and people that are successful in business is they know their own emotional states. They know their own triggers. They understand their past and how that makes them feel and react to things. And that allows them to engage with other people and understand the emotions that are going on in the room, the emotions, how people are feeling, to be more empathetic with them, and also just to navigate difficult conversations.
Okay.
And I think when you do that, you can be much more successful. Because if not, what happens is you'll step on people's feet, you'll talk over them, you won't get what's going on. And then as a leader, it'll be really hard for you to be successful. And also, you won't know when to be vulnerable, when not to be. You won't know boundaries. I mean, all these things start popping up, which are the majority of people's problems in a management level and above.
That's great. And do you cover a lot of that in your book?
I cover some of the things in it. A lot of it's more, how do you get to building the relationships with people? Where do you go? What do you say? How do you get down the path? How people are thinking, what are their challenges? And I try to do that because the self-awareness piece of this, emotional piece of it, is like a whole book in itself.
Wow, for
sure.
And
maybe people don't have patience to really go through that process. So that it makes it challenging to put it all in one place, because the book would be, you know, 300 pages.
Right. I find it extremely fascinating. So great. So what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something you've achieved that's super meaningful?
You know, I think doing this TEDx talk in August was pretty significant, because I spent a lot of time researching it. I did a how-to speech, which is probably the rarest of the TEDx speeches. So it takes a lot of time, because not only do I had to create a talk, I had to create something people could use. And so that took a lot of time. And I had to talk to a lot of people, do a lot of research. And, you know, I had to hire a speaking coach, and I found a great one who ran a TEDx. So that was extremely helpful in itself. And then just go through the whole process and just do it. I mean, it's a pretty daunting process to go through to begin with, to go and then have it apply. And so it was, you know, a very challenging journey. Definitely really worth it, in my estimation. I mean, it's definitely getting harder to do them. And I think you have to do a lot of research and spend a lot more time than you would have had 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Wow. And I had no idea. I have people all the time saying, you should be doing a TEDx talk. And I honestly don't even know the process. So that's really interesting to hear. It sounds like it's quite a process to kind of prepare for and apply and all of that. So it sounds like it's pretty detailed.
It takes a ridiculous amount of time. I think to do a really good speech and have something that is meaningful and is something that you can utilize in your own business, because there's so much noise out there with the TEDx speeches that your speech is only going to get noticed so far.
Right.
So you've got to think, how can I take and apply it in my business every day? And I don't think people really think like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they're then disappointed, or what happens is they have a ridiculous amount of work that they need to take to deliver it in that fashion and get something out of it.
Wow. So on the opposite of that, can you share a challenge with us or something you faced that was difficult, and then how you worked through that?
You know, I think one of the challenging things I've had is I had a business partner and we just had a huge falling out. And I think a lot of it had, you know, at the time, there's a lot of emotions running through it all. But end of the day, I realized that it had come down to me seeing myself as Robin and him as Batman. And I think whenever you don't take a leadership role, bad things happen to you, or negative things, however you want to take it, or significant learning lessons. So I think for me, it was just something that I took away as I went through the process, that you've got to be Batman and a leader in everything that you do and step up. And when you abdicate that position, you are going to go through some challenging moments. And, you know, almost everyone that I've talked to that's had a partner is going through that whole thing. It's pretty infrequent when it doesn't happen. And usually when I found that it is the case, it's two people who really need each other that understand that the other person is great in one area and the other person is great in another. And mm-hmm. without each other, fall apart. But you don't really get that happening in a sustained time frame very often.
Right. So, curious question from your analogy. This is the first time I've heard that analogy, and I loved it because it immediately helps you to understand it instantaneously. But so, does that mean in a relationship, business partnership, where you have your strengths and the other one is the polar opposite of those strengths, does that mean you both get to be Batman sometimes and you're both playing Robin, or you take turns playing Batman and Robin successfully? Or what
do
you
think? So
yeah,
I think you have to, and I think that is what a requirement is. And then I think you also have to find that someone else has to have enough gas in the tank, right, to go
yep.
through. I mean, I think you have to keep continually evaluating the relationship and the situations, because otherwise what happens is you believe you need the other person too way more than you probably do. And that can significantly hold you back in what you could be doing.
That's great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
You know, I think it's just doing the things that you love, engaging with people. I think helping them get to the place that they want to go, serving, inspiring, helping, connecting, belonging. I mean, all those things for me are my happy place.
That's great.
'Cause I'm an extrovert.
It's so funny when you said, you asked that simple question, are you happy? And you got this silence. This is sometimes the most difficult question for people to answer. You answered that very quickly and readily, but you would be amazed at when I get to this question, so many people say, wow, this one was a tough one. And I always think, wow, are they really operating from their happy place? Do you know what I mean?
Probably not. And I think, you know, one of the things that I found is that when you start to understand what are your top emotional drivers,
mm-hmm.
then it's much easier to answer this question. I think the problem is most people don't know what really drives them and what drives their other emotions. And I think until you sit down and do some work to figure that out, it's really difficult to say what makes you happy.
Right.
Because happiness is not a driver of other emotional states. Other emotional states drive happiness for you. So you have to understand what those states are and what career opportunities and things you can be doing that puts you there, not the other way around. And I think that's a problem, is that people don't really know what those are. So therefore, they can't really be happy.
Right. That's a really great perspective. Wow. So, Jason, what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Well, you better have a thick skin, and it's going to take a while. And you better and you better really want to work and love doing it. Because I think there's so much noise out there right now. I think the difference is if you take a look and talk to people, you know, in 2018 versus 1970, right?
Right.
The problem is in 1970 is you had no internet. So there were a lot of things that were harder, but you didn't have the distractions. So once you broke through, you could really break through and flourish. Now there are so many people trying to do it that it's taking longer and longer to build a sustainable business. And you've got to be willing to go for the long haul on it. And it's going to take the time that it's going to take, which will be quite a while. When you really get down and look at people who are successful, it's not a very short haul thing. I mean, these are, you know, 5 years on the very low end to most people, 10 to 15, when you're looking at most businesses being successful. That's a long time. So you better love what you're doing, because if not, it's not worth doing. I mean, there's a lot of other things you can be doing with your time rather than doing this.
I would agree. And you know what I think is so hard, though? And I'm sure you've heard this, but there are so many people out there that have this, oh yeah, I was here, I was broke, and then I decided to do this, and 7 months later, I was making a seven-figure income. I mean, there's just so much of that out there, and I'm like, it's just not like that. It's just not a reality. And I think that people feel like a failure when they don't see that happen.
I completely agree. And here's the thing. So it's like, you know, I just saw a video of some guy at a business helping people do handstands, and he's making, I don't know, whatever he claims, like $300,000, $400,000. I'm like, is that business really sustainable for the next 20 or 30 years? Like, I don't think it is, right? I think at some point you're going to hit a ceiling and there's been nowhere for you to go at that point. Right. And so are there people that do these things? Yeah, of course. Right. But the problem is, maybe they're making $100,000 in 6 months, but let's see where they are in 6 years.
Right.
Because they're going to flatline at some point because it's inevitable. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no one that goes straight up. Everyone, I mean, at some point in your life, your skills and ability eventually hit a ceiling. And they will then, at that point, if you don't do anything, bring you to the lowest point in your life. Because if you follow any success story, that is exactly where it puts people. But most people just don't follow the journey and understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they just look at the finish line or the ESPN highlight reel or the Facebook news feed. They don't ask questions like I do. And when you ask people about their lowest moments, right, it's a pretty bad place that every successful entrepreneur, business person I know has been in, right? I mean, it's, you know, conversations that would be, people would be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that that person was at that place. So I think people need to take in consideration that that's where it's going to take you, because that's what's required.
Absolutely. And you can have great success and go up, but understanding, I always say it's kind of more like it can be like a roller coaster, these huge ups and these huge downs. And the main thing you want to do is kind of just level it off to where it's just hilly, right? Because it's never going to be a straight up ever, because you're always going to have either something changes, you know, you change or the environment changes, the direction of things. And even for people that have products that are kind of fads, that changes. And so you have to be prepared to be able to change with it instead of, people get stuck in, well, this is how it used to be. You remember when? Remember when we did that? Remember, well, I used to have this with my business. And I'm, you know, I noticed this when we went through the recession. I just hit people, well, our numbers last year. I'm like, you better come up with a new reality. Like, why are we hanging on to what you did 5 years ago? Because your surroundings and your circumstances around you are much different. So you have to decide to either roll with that and reinvent yourself to work with your circumstances to still do what you want to do successfully. But I just find people get stuck in this, I remember when, and it's never going to stay the same. That's what I've learned after 25 years of doing this. I've had stellar years, and then I've had big drops, and then we've climbed back up. And it's usually by doing something slightly different, not the exact way we did it 10 years before that.
Yeah, I would say you have to choose courage over comfort, and that requires you to go into massive uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that you learn about being an entrepreneur is that it's about how much uncertainty can you handle in a healthy way. That is going to be your level of success. Because if you can't, you will go to heights, but then you will fall off the cliff, right?
Right.
I always say that, like, a person to start watching is, let's see what Elon Musk does with all these things that are going on, right? I mean, he's making a lot of promises as an entrepreneur with all these different people. And if the next couple of years don't pan out like he's doing it, he's getting dangerously close, right, to a point where he's going to be in a significant amount of trouble if he doesn't deliver, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone has their own place, right? So it's eventually you will have to come to deal with a point where you'll hit a rock bottom. And it's what you do in that rock bottom moments that will, you know, create the life that you love, or you're going to create some sort of mediocre life.
Wow. Well, this has been a great interview today, Jason. And so in closing, I'd just love you to share any new things that you're working on and then tell our listeners how they can find you.
Sure. I mean, one of the things is I'm starting to do a lot more talking on my team building and team performance in the game I created, Cards Against Mundanity. And it's based on a couple things. One, Google did a study called Project Aristotle, and they found the number one factor for building high performing teams. And this doesn't matter any industry, any size of business, no matter where it is building psychological safety. And it's the number one driver for success. And on top of it, I was looking, and there's a famous study by Professor Arthur Aaron. He was looking, how do you make very close friendships, actually even love connections with people in minutes? And he did a study where he had people ask each other questions, complete strangers. And 54 grad students did his original study. And at the end of 45 minutes, 30% of the people rated the relationship they just created as the closest relationship in their life.
Wow.
So it's taking that and combining it with creating psychological safety, and you can download it for free and play the game. And like 3,000 people have played it so far, at least that I know. And, you know, I've done stuff at Microsoft, Oracle, Ernst & Young. I mean, tons of big companies, Amazon. So, and it's worked fantastic. So that's one thing I'm excited about. And soon did a couple courses I'm going to put out on leadership and team building. And I may have another podcast I'm doing with someone else that I'm pretty excited about working on, too, that's hopefully going to be launching soon.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. And website, Facebook page?
Sure. You can just go to my website for everything. It's Jason, and then it's TREU.com. It's Troy, but it's spelled TREU. So it's Jason, TREU.com. And you can find everything there. And then my book, Social Wealth, on Amazon. So easy to find. It's done well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was just an absolute pleasure having you on the show. And I hope that people will go back and listen to this again, because you gave so many really special gold nuggets in there that I think, you know, in the conversation, they just kind of fly by. But you gave some really great answers that we don't hear from just everybody on the show. So I hope people will take the time, even after they've listened to it, and go back and maybe listen to it again, because there were really some special things that you shared in there. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.